Hello, and thank you for joining us on Healing from Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, and am delighted to welcome Arun K. Singh, MD, author of Your Heart, My Hands, a story of an immigrant's remarkable journey to find the American dream and become one of America's preeminent cardiac surgeons. Hello, and thank you for joining us today, Dr. Singh.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
In a time of so much unpleasantness in regard to immigration issues, it is so wonderful to hear and read about the miraculous journey you made from India to America and all the lives that were helped due to your desire to be part of American life and achieve the American dream of freedom, love for family and nation. Arun, as listeners of the show are well aware, my guests and I share intimate insights into the nature of our human and our spiritual essence and our hopes for uniting the duality of life to once again find health, truth, prosperity, and happiness by knowing more about who we are, where we have originated from, and how to manifest a healthy, self-investigative process, learning to master our emotions, and to live in harmony and balance with nature, man, our universe. In today's show, Dr. Arun Singh will share his journey from rural India, arriving with $5 in his pocket, sharing proof that hard work, persistence, and grit can overcome the most discouraging obstacles. He will share his views on life and the healthcare system that deserve our attention. Arun, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember a person, a place, or event that might have signaled to them or others the interests and lifestyle they would pursue as an adult. For our story seems written in our soul energy, and often signs show us the path we are meant to follow. So think back to your earlier days, how it began.
It began back home in a small town in India. And the person who most impacted me as growing up was my mother. You know, when in my book, and I talk about my early injury, which left me to paralysis of my hand, completely destroyed my elbow, and I was not able to go to school for 4 years, and I was tutored by my mom in the home. He had only 10th grade education, and my hand was never good. I was not able to pick a piece of paper or hold a pencil. My dad was frustrated knowing that my eldest son is going to be begging in the family. When I heard the news, beggar, I started crying.
Of course.
I could not console because I had seen beggar, what beggar looks like in India. Broken pain, and standing on the street, deformed hands, limb missing, trying to get a piece of bread or coin. So the idea of have to be a beggar to make a living was more painful than the injury I had. At that point in time, my mom, as most mothers do, she held me tight. And she said, get up, look up, and don't give up. And I'm going to work with you. And she did. She did spend tirelessly work with me. She spent time, made a decision to have further treatment, made me to do the rehab. And here I am today.
You know, yes, you know as a doctor, and I know as a teacher and also intuitive healer and medium, that our thoughts are very, very powerful. And if you constantly belittle a person or a child, you tell them what they cannot do, and you tell them what they will become, inevitably it's like the law of karma. We create it with our own fear and our own thoughts. So your mother was
Absolutely.
very brilliant and very.
Well, see what she did to me, and I never forgot it,
Of course not.
despite all the adversity, be positive, be thankful, work hard, you will overcome. And she installed me the value. Think about, here's where I am, Indian, Eastern culture coming to the Western world, not knowing a single person in this new world, carrying only $5 in my pocket, the most valuable money I ever had, Mr. Lincoln. And think about it, I felt, dealt with that time in 60 in this country, disappointment, discouragement, discrimination, racism, name it, everything. But I was focused. Negative force did not take me down. I was focused. Did it hurt? Yes, it hurts. People telling you things like that. People are asking me. They never heard about Indian accent, or that they only heard about the India, the Taj Mahal,
Or
or fake
the
charm,
elephant. We
or
think of
the
the elephant.
elephant, or the half-naked Gandhi, like S, you know, esoteric, those are the things they heard about. They haven't heard about it. They will ask me, are you vegetarian? How do my answer used to be, hey, look, horses don't eat the meat. They can run. And so is the elephant. They're pretty big. So
Right.
you don't have to. I'm not a vegetarian, but people will ask, they were ignorant. And so despite all of these things, you have to be focused in your life. And I look back and I read about it, and it saw me in the history of human mankind, there was never been a discrimination. There always been be and always will be. But you have, if you focus that, you're negative, you're not going to go anywhere. Be positive.
And
Be
yeah, not only
and
be
be humble.
positive, you have to
Be
also
positive and work
be
hard. And
creative. You have to
also,
learn. You have to put yourself into the right action with the right people. And you did exactly that. So you arrived in Massachusetts, in the city of
that's right.
Worcester. Okay, so
Worcester.
Worcester, and they were giving you a job, but you found out that they were keeping you mostly in the library, and you weren't learning the skills that you had gone there
Well,
to
what the,
learn.
but basically was when I got there, when I left India, is the reason, one of the reason I came to this country. My dad was very sick. He had a stroke. He was not able to move around, and we had no means of making a living. My mom was only 10th grade educated. We had three brothers and sister, and she became a maid, housewife, mother, and taking care of entire. She couldn't go out and get a job. There was no such job for a woman in the 50s in a small town in India, except be maid. And there was no such thing in our society back home, even in this country. Medicare, Medicaid, welfare, family supported in the beginning, and as time went on, my dad survived, but he left with a lot of disability. And I was the eldest one, and I have to be. When my mom looked at, I saw one day, I was sitting with mom, and she came to me. I had no interest in going back to school. I wanted to help her. She looked in my eye, and I saw a tear in her eyes and a pain. And she said, "Aaron, you are the eldest. You are a guardian of this family. You have responsibility, and I want you to go back and study and be a doctor, and we'll survive." That day, I was 17 and a half year old, first year medical student. I became a guardian. I took care of my entire family. I drove, I took my brothers and sisters, pedaled them on the bike on the back, 100-degree temperatures at school. I took care of everything. I gave up my sports. I gave fooling around. I became studious and determined to be successful. And I saw the opportunity. And America was the only place where I could be trained and make some money to send home some money. So when I came to Worcester, one of the reasons I came, that was the only job I got here, plus they were willing to pay me room and board, and I made about $4,000 salary. That sounds not a lot of money, but when you make exchange to India, it was a lot of money for them. So I first couple of months, I never got out of the hospital. I stayed there in the library, study, get familiar with the cultural system, save every penny, and my first paycheck when I earned, I sent entire my paycheck to my mother.
Yeah. Well, now
So
I know you wanted to become a surgeon, and they were telling you that they were only taking American students into certain programs, but you were able to get into a surgical residency at Columbia University. A friend of yours from India got you there. Now, how were you able to do that when they weren't taking?
well, what happened was, two reasons. In a lot of things, you can work hard and you can do things that still may not work. Sometimes you have to be lucky and you have to be use your luck.
Yes.
Worcester wanted me to keep in there because they liked me. But again, I realized I came all the way from India, 10,000 miles, to learn, and this was not the place to learn because the people who were there, they were not getting good training. I was a good observant, so I realized they are not getting trained very well. They are not passing the board, and the future was not. And I said, I didn't come to do this labor work. Hospital needed a doctor those days to have to run the hospital, because as an immigrant, I was cheap labor. And there's nothing wrong. They needed it. I got benefit, but I wanted to get better training. What happened in Colombia was a very prime program. The Vietnam War was very active, and many of the residents who were drafted last minute, so there were position opening, opened up, and they needed these doctors, interns or residents, to run the hospital and to take care of the patient. So because of the last minute, a friend of mine who said there is a opening there because couple of residents got drafted in the Vietnam War, and so they will need doctors. So why don't you go? And because he gave me the information, I applied. They took me, and I was fortunate. I worked very hard. I competed with the many American residents. They liked me and they kept me, and I finished the entire training there.
Excellent. Well, I know that there
There's
is
opportunity. I
nothing
got
that
the
we can
opportunity.
do. Since I'm a little girl, a sensitive little girl, an empathic little girl who could feel a lot of people's emotions and pain, I have always known that whatever the mind can think, they can do if they put the consistency, effort, and time. Ask for help from above and also from those around us. So I never put limits on people or myself, because if there's really
No, it's
something we
absolutely, you
have to
absolutely.
do, we will do it to the best of our ability. It might not be perfect because there's really no perfection. There's only change and allowing ourselves to find joy and positivity rather than suffering and failure. We can put those intentions out there, and then we have a very, very good chance of succeeding, as you surely know. Now, let's get on to racism is all we hear about these days in politics. Did you face racism when you first got to America, or because you were an immigrant?
Yeah, well, people looked at me first. They were not exposed to it, even in New York and Worcester,
It was new.
many Indians, at those days in '60. So they were not sure whether I was a Cuban or Caribbean or the Afro-American. Many times I did feel subtle that they will do things. Once. There were times the doctors will tell you that it didn't bother me. They will say that, and I didn't realize, like they will say, well, would you mind not to help this patient during the operation? A senior surgeon will say that. I said, fine, if somebody else wants to, I can observe it. One of the reason was I never paid attention. But I think back why they said, because the wealthy patients didn't want any foreigners to help them or be part of it. Until later I realized that was the story. But at that point in time, did it hurt me? Yes, it hurt me, but it didn't affected my goal. It didn't affected my determination. And I also want to tell you, I was not because of my weakness of my hand. My hand dexterity was not very, very good, Cheryl. So after a long hour working as a resident, which was late in the night, I would go in my room and practice sewing. I make a Spartan apartment, a theater, a sewing room, and what I did is took the sutures and I sutured every night my pillows for 2 hours and practice so that I will have a very fine mobility of my hand. So I could tell you, and I can assure you, my pillows in the apartment were better embroidered
Beautiful.
than many posh hotel in New York and Paris, I can guarantee you. And
Isn't
so
that?
that would allow me, so I was focused and determined. And I was also very fortunate that I met a lovely lady in this country who helped me immensely, who helped me the most in my adult life and pulled me out of my darkest days. And that was my wife, who I met her in New York. So I was very, very fortunate to have two ladies in my life who really supported, stood by me, for me, and during all my difficult time and supported me.
Well, in talking to you, I can see why and hear why, because you are a gentle soul and a determined soul and one who does not assume victimhood, which is not good. And for those people listening, there are no victims. There are only people who allow themselves to be victimized. No one could take your soul, personal power away if you don't allow it. And I, like you, have had some struggles. But I have never allowed myself to be stopped from following my own inner awareness and truth to succeed and to serve people and to live an authentic, good, balanced life like you. And people can see it in the example we set, and they can hear it in the words that we say. So I say, there's really no racism, except people who try to conjure up that kind of bad feeling to another group because they have fear and doubt in their own abilities. So you see,
I
people like
absolutely,
us,
they feel insecure in themselves, and I feel bad for them. I don't feel, I feel as I'm sorry that, I first time when I was at the party at the Columbia Residence Program, I remember very well, I had never wore a tuxedo and I rented, I didn't have a lot of money, so I rented in New York at the Queens somewhere. Brooklyn, I forgot where it was. It was the cheapest tuxedo for a few dollars. And the cheapest tuxedo looked like a cheapest tuxedo with a red bow tie. And it was a black tie affair, and I had no idea. And that was the first time I wore my tuxedo. And I go to World Trade Center where the water was there, and they had a big party for Christmas time. And we're having a good time, and I went in the bathroom. And while I was in the bathroom, a senior surgeon, and I would not name him, he was in age 70, and gray haired and a nice glass, and he was washing his hand. And after he washed it, he looked around, and I saw some napkin there. I handed him, and he handed me $5. I couldn't believe it, but I loved the $5. So I said, "Let me stay there for longer." But he thought. He didn't realize that I was a surgical resident there too. That's why. But he thought I was attendant, in the bathroom handing the towel. But that's the people perceive, I had people. I've heard the comments, or sitting in a dining room, the people would say that, "Oh, immigrants, they're coming in here, they get married here, they stay there, they take our job away, they're abusing it." We were there, but let me tell you, the immigrants, I saw recently a play called Hamilton, and this I wrote a line in the book, and they were wrapping around at the Hamilton saying it to Lafayette. He says, "Immigrants, we they helped us." Two Hamilton and Lafayette both were immigrants, and they helped to win the American Revolution. And
Yes.
the rapping sound was, "Immigrant, we saved, we got job done." Same thing. We were
Everybody
immigrants.
in this country is an immigrant, except
Immigrant.
for the American Native American Indians
That's
who
right. We
were
should leave them
here.
there.
Everybody
And
else came
so I
from
feel
other places.
somewhere. And that's our culture. That is our culture. That is that we welcome the immigrants, we welcome the newcomer, and that was our tradition. And that is the most beautiful tradition of this country, more than 200 years.
Yes.
And our logo said, "E pluribus unum." What does it mean? Out of many, one. And this is what the greatness about this country. So don't dehumanize these people.
No, of course
Don't
not. But
look down,
Arun, every group that came here, my grandparents came here from Russia. They were Jewish immigrants fleeing for their lives from a country that, in countries where
Yeah,
there were always
my
pogroms
wife
and
is as
people's.
you
Your wife is
my
Jewish.
wife's family is Jewish, and I tell you, intermarriage in 60s, we married in 670, were not very common.
No.
But it was not very common, especially marrying a Jewish family. And I tell you, I was very fortunate that my in-laws and my parents never felt other way around. They were very receptive, and they blessed us. So I was very, maybe others, relative distance, they all said, "Oh God, what's happening here? We
They
should
were
have never
well.
ended up."
They were evolved good souls, and they just wanted you to be happy. And you have done
And we are
very
married for 49 years and happily married with two kids and a
beautiful.
few grandkids. And so I cannot complain that I was blessed to have,
Well, I'm
because.
going to ask you another question based on all that you're saying now. What is it that you have come to love in this country so different from India? What is it you love about
Well,
India, and what is it you love about this
I
country?
always say, Cheryl, that I had two mothers. India gave me the birth and installed me in the value. America gave me the opportunity and freedom, and whatever I will, I can do it here.
Beautiful. Yeah, so you have had the best from both
Of the
worlds.
two.
And
Yeah, I think every culture and society has something to offer.
They're both, India
Don't.
and America are both democratic
And
sort
now
of.
I tell you, I'm a legal immigrant, and I am, American by choice. I could have gone back, but I felt what I was doing it, this is the best for me, and from I could do better things for my family and to humanity.
But you stayed here because you found love, you found another family. You learned about many different cultures because America is a melting pot, and you've saved and worked with many people, children also, who have had heart health issues, and you've given life here in this country to many people who needed your help.
Well, I'm not sure if I would have gone to India, would have been that successful or not. I had a doubt because, again, I did not have a lot of political connections and things like that. I might have been successful, I don't know, but I had a doubt in my mind.
But you were
Look back, I'm
successful
looking,
here.
yes, and I became here a very successful. And this is what it tells you in this country. I didn't try in India, so I shouldn't be saying it. But again, in this country, think about it. You could be Afro-American, be president of the next generation. You could be foreigners. You could be next time senator, governor, whatever. The sky is unlimited, And don't tell and don't say it. The American dream is over. American dream is still alive and well. America is still the beacon on the hill, and I can tell you, I can tell you, American dream is well and alive,
And
Be patient.
thank you, for those words. Like you, I am a very spiritually based person, and I download information for people from spirit who have that love and that hope. And America is an example for the world. It was founded by the founding fathers with the help of spirit, divine energy, to be an example of diversity. You know, when they talk about in this country we don't have enough diversity, I look around wherever I go. I walk into a department store, a restaurant, a school, an airport. We have the most diversity of any place in the world, maybe in any
Well, I
place in the
teach I
universe.
teach I teach at the Brown Medical School, and in my class, the minorities are the native, the what means the people who are third or fourth generation. Most of
Right.
the students or doctors are first generation from all over the world, and they're bright, brilliant, and the future. And this is what it makes this country great. And I tell you this book, and I tell you this book is not is a medical book. Your Heart, My Hand is a book for anybody, everybody, immigrant, kids with a disability, dyslexia, paralyzing, and people who have heart problems. See what I felt about emotion, you know, the condition. And I tell you, the bravest persons are the patient who trusted their heart in my hand. I wish I
Yes.
could say I saved each and every one. The reality was not.
Of course not.
And those who did not, we bear a pain in our heart. Believe me, we do bear a pain in our heart. But that's the life.
I
So when I
think,
look
Arun,
back,
I think your book is about miracles. Many, many beautiful miracles. And I want to thank you, Arun K. Singh, Dr. Singh, author of Your Heart, My Hands, for a soul-searching look at higher self, life, and the human as well as divine experience through an immigrant's remarkable journey to become one of America's beloved cardiac surgeons, and also the story of trust in a universal plan and an American plan for living a purposeful and healthy life, as is written in our soul's destiny. To purchase this courageous and honest journey to the center of truth, go to arungsingh.com or amazon.com. In summarizing today's episode, we have discovered that nothing is impossible when you have the love of a mother, grandmother, family, and strong family resolve to work cooperatively for the success of all the members of the family. Such is the culture that Arun Singh was born into. And along with the problems of his childhood, he was able, beyond serious handicaps, to become an accomplished cardiac surgeon. Tenacity, stubbornness, and curiosity, along with perseverance and trust, all led to many successes personally for Dr. Singh and to the thousands of patients he was able to save so they might have a healthier, longer life. Well, he observed that the men in his life were complicated and operated much differently than the women. He did benefit from their example of hard work and respect for a way of life that offered stability. Dr. Singh writes, "Throughout my career, I tried to focus on the thing I cared more about and the thing I did best, my patients and their treatment. I was never interested in becoming an administrator. I also tried to avoid getting caught up in the politics that are an inevitable part of any large organization. But change was coming to the medical field, and nothing could keep me from being affected. The changes include the mergers, the demise of the solo practice, the rise of large physician groups and networks, as well as complex new billing systems and the increasing cost of the healthcare system. Dr. Singh and I would have you know that though we are aware of the challenging and changing times for the medical field and the effects of political, social, economic, and global changes, we advise our listeners to remember the reason we have chosen to live a physical life and that is to remain steadfast to that wise inner voice or intuition that reminds you you are more than the physical world and must strive for personal excellence, resilience, and love of life, family, and spirit at all times. And of course, love the American dream. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to read about and listen to leaders in the field of metaphysics, science, spirituality, education, medicine, psychology, and the arts and music fields as we search for and find the true capacity of our human and divine nature and to thrive in all aspects of our multidimensional lives. Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.